I want you to know that the Richley Shoe Company in Frederick, Maryland boasts that their elevator shoes have been making men 2 to 3 inches taller since 1939. They come with a hidden height increasing inner mold that even ups the score, in a sense, for shorter men who want the business and social advantages that being taller has been shown to provide, they say. Is it true that tall men have better jobs, more success with women, and more money than their shorter counterparts? I ask you, short people of America. Says Malcolm Gladwell in his book, Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, now a New York Times bestseller, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that height, particularly in men, does trigger a certain set of very positive, unconscious associations. And it's even been given a name, heightism. Heightism in men. And it's the most basic prejudice in man because it's the least talked about. Says 5'4" Joe Mangiano, salesman for a trademark research company in New York City. As a matter of fact, he says, there may be more heightism today than before because people can no longer discriminate against other groups. In real-world terms, heightism can translate into fewer dollars for shorter people. For the book Blink, Gladwell polled about half of the Fortune 500 companies and found that the majority of their CEOs were tall. Among the CEOs, 58% were 6 feet or over. Some 30% of the CEOs were 6'2" or taller. Height matters for career success, says Timothy Judge, a University of Florida management professor who co-conducted a study on the topic. After analyzing the results of 4 large-scale studies, Judge and co-author Daniel Cable, a business professor at the University of North Carolina, found that extra inches could add to up to thousands of dollars. For each inch in height, a person earned $780 more in pay. So a 6-foot person would earn $5,525 more dollars each year than someone who is 5'5". Sorry, Randy. If you take this over the course of a 30-year career and compound it, we're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of earnings advantage that a tall person enjoys. As if life and the economy and situations around us weren't bad enough, now the vertically challenged have one more issue to rise above. Most of us have challenges in life. We can't control how tall we are. Height, weight, how we look. Challenges can be natural, they can be unnatural, they can be defeating, they can leave you feeling stuck, they can leave you not being able to move forward. We can feel stagnant, stale, we can feel insignificant because of the things life has dealt us. The question today is, how do we rise above? How do we reach for all that life has to offer when there is a proverbial lid keeping us down? To answer this question, I want to go to a fun little story in Luke 19. It's in your Bible on an insert, and it's on the screen behind me. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Had we thought ahead, we would have had the VBS kids sing, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." Luke 19, 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the house of a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. There's good news in this story. When we consider how we can rise above the trappings of life and reach new heights, I think there's three things we can learn from this story. The first one is that God recognizes us and our situation. Do you know that God knows you? He recognizes you. He says, he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Now let's think about this story for a minute. Jesus is pressing through the crowd. He's got a parade of people with him, and the crowds have gathered, and they're pressing through the multitudes. Perhaps there's many people, I think, up in the trees to get a better look. And I think they're probably children. So Jesus is pressing through the crowd of adults and onlookers and smart people and religious people and people who are questioning what he's all about. And he looks up, and I think this is probably a humorous situation. He sees all these children who are to be seen and not heard, who cannot see because they're small themselves. They've climbed the trees, and they're looking down, and he's scanning the crowd, and he sees the bearded face of little Zacchaeus. And I think he chuckles. He knows him by name. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. God knew him. What that must have meant to Zacchaeus. What it must have meant. Thousands have amassed to see this celebrity, this healer, this teacher, this man of wonder, this life changer. The one who is to come. And he looks right in the eyes of Zacchaeus and he speaks his name. Psalm 139 tells us that before our days even came to be, when we were knit together in our mother's womb, Jesus knew all of our life before it even existed. Each of us, billions of people, he knew us full well. Matthew encourages us in 6 verse 8 that the Father knows what we need before we even ask him. John 10:3 declares that he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. Did Zacchaeus just be in the, was he in the right place at the right time that day? Was luck with him? I don't think so. I think Christ knew every moment of little Zacchaeus' life. Every painful thought that drove him up that tree. And this day was planned for his resolution. God recognizes us in our situation. And the second thing we learn from the story is that God resolves our situation. Jesus said to him, come down immediately. I must stay with you. Now, in today's society, folks dropping in unannounced could be a problem, especially at home. But not Zacchaeus. He's very wealthy. He probably had enough room in his mansion to receive Jesus, his traveling entourage, and many others. He greets him gladly, and they move the party to his house. Now, for as long as Zacchaeus has been a tax collector, not to mention the chief tax collector, this house and this man, I can assume safely, have been on the receiving end of resentment. A Jewish man with a chip on his shoulder, empowered by the Romans, had spawned an unending cycle of cheating, overcharging, and miserable living. This is Zacchaeus. And it's Jesus' intent that Zacchaeus resolve his situation. What was that situation? Was the problem that he was shorter than everyone else and needed to be taller? Was it that he was a liar and a cheat and he was despised? Zacchaeus was separated from people. He had no interpersonal relationships and nobody liked him. Jesus resolved his problem by placing value on his life. Zacchaeus' first move was up the tree. His most important move was recognizing Jesus in his heart and making amends for all his wrongdoing in verse 8. When Jesus seizes your life, you can't help but respond. You know what you need to quit. You know the behaviors that you need to end. You know the conversations you need to have, for the Spirit compels you to. Zacchaeus began living for God by fixing his relationships. I will give back. I will give back everything. God recognizes us. He helps us resolve our situation. And the third thing we can learn from the story is that God raises us above our situation. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Don't you think the crowd of onlookers were shocked at that statement? "This is Zacchaeus. He's stolen everything from me. Every time I make a little money, I have to pay the taxes. And there's no ceiling on what he can charge." They didn't quite yet understand that this Messiah had come for all people, even the bad ones. Jesus reminds them of Zacchaeus' lineage, and he tells them, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost." Zacchaeus discovers and welcomes Jesus into his life. This is reflected in his actions. He does something about it. He makes amends. And he receives citizenship in the eternal kingdom of heaven. That's our final destination. It's not Pennsylvania or New York or Gehenna. It's heaven. This life is just a practice. And up until this point, Zacchaeus had been getting it wrong. So what are we to do after hearing the story of Zacchaeus and being reminded of it, and perhaps for the first time getting some insight into maybe the psyche and the personality of Zacchaeus? I would suggest to you today that first of all, we have to change our perspective. We need to see that God recognizes us, our hearts, with our issues, with our problems, with our challenges. He knows them and he's very deeply concerned. We also need to see that God can bring resolution to all the problems of life, and that it may require some work on our part. We may have to do some tree climbing and some evaluation. We also need to see that God's final destination for us is eternity with him, and that we can only reach that place by surrendering control of our lives to him and receiving Jesus as Lord, by coming down out of the tree and welcoming the Savior with open arms and taking him home. Zacchaeus didn't need elevator shoes to solve his problems and reach new heights. He needed to change his perspective and see life from God's view. I hope some people can relate to Zacchaeus. Maybe you don't have a height issue. Maybe you have other issues in your life that we don't have to list. For Zacchaeus, his physical characteristics brought the wrong attention. He was teased. He was mistreated. He was disrespected. He was disadvantaged his whole life in this setting, in this culture. So what are the results of a lifetime of this mistreatment? A bad attitude. A broken perspective. A chip on your shoulder. Being unfulfilled and at least a very poor self-image. How did he get back? He cheated people out of their money. What is money? Money is power. The more he avenged his own maltreatment, the more money he had. The more money he had, the worse he felt. And the meaner he got. And it was a vicious cycle. It had been a long time since he felt at peace. And his hatred of himself was only matched by the scorn of people he so longed to be friends with. Guilt compounded the problem. His spirit was flatlined. There was nothing that would make him feel better, for the shine of the coin had dulled long ago. We know people like this. You're going to New York, you're going to meet people like this. Will the emptiness in his soul ever be replaced with love or joy or peace? Would he ever have the relationships he longed for? Yes. Yes. He heard that Jesus was coming. This Jesus could help him. Through him, he was hearing that the lame could walk, the blind could see, the unclean were made whole. Jesus was transforming people's lives. He was taking them to a new level of living that was unburdened, joyous, and free. All he had to do was get himself to a position where Christ would see his humility and his desperation. He had to take himself to a new level. In physically going higher, he lowered himself to a place where God could reach down and help him. And he did. And he wants to help you too. All he requires of us is that we're desperate enough to climb a tree, to make a move, to do something. It's not about your height. It's not about your weight. It's not about how you look. It's not about how much money you earn. It's not about what you do in life. The thing that matters is that God knows you, and he knows me. And he knew us before time even began. And he's created a special life for us in a relationship with him. And we need to stop letting the situations of life dictate how we live. We need to be able to put ourselves in a place where God can move in and flush out all the old stuff in his own time and make us a new person. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for little Zacchaeus. He's just an insignificant little guy in a story in the New Testament. But because he matters to you and you saw him and you called him down, he matters to us. Because in his story, many of us can find ourselves hurting, longing for healing, longing for relationships, longing for the chance to make amends with people. And Lord, if we don't identify with Zacchaeus, we might identify with the crowd who witness God loving someone that we thought was not worthy. Lord, encourage us in that direction also. Father, we pray that as we go from this place today, we can be people who are changing our perspective, who are understanding that you love us and that you love everyone, and that we need to stop looking through life through our own eyes, but to see things as you do. Lord, help us today to give up the challenges in life that weigh us down, to perhaps come forward and lay them at the altar in prayer. Lord, we invite you to move upon us and continue to lead us as we go out being people of encouragement in a hurting world. And Lord, as we stand to sing, may you continue to move upon people's hearts who have prayer needs, who have the need to receive you as Lord and Savior and begin a new life, leaving the old behind. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.